Tisha B'Av is one of those very, very difficult moyadim. I'm calling it a moyad because the Navi calls it a moyad. It's very difficult to connect in a meaningful way. The structure of all the Yomim Tovim that we have year-round have two components. They have the Beis HaMikdash model. So when the Beis HaMikdash is b'bonei al tila, she'bonei b'mehiro v'yomenu, so then we have the korbanos, we have aliyah l'regel, we have a structure of how to be celebrate the regel with the Beis HaMikdash. And then the Torah gave us a structure of how to celebrate it without a Beis HaMikdash. So you have a Yom Tov of Pesach, so there's a whole Yom Tov. That even though the Yom Tov, the name of the Yom Tov, is after the Korban Pesach. Still in all, there's a structure that we have, a full-fledged Yom Tov, without the Beis HaMikdash. And we connect to that. So we may have a little bit of a problem connecting to the Zeich HaMikdash Kehillah. But we have the lion's share of the Yom Tov is something that's very real, and we could connect to. And the Kohen of the Kohen, Yom Tov of Sukkos, Kol Shekein the Yom Tov of Matan Torah, Rosh Hashanah Kippur. Tisha B'Av is one of those Yom Tovim that has no structure. And that's why people look outside of the Yom Tov to find structure. Because in the structure of the Yom Tov, what are we supposed to connect to? We're supposed to connect to some Beis HaMikdash that's not been around for thousands of years. That we can't even imagine what that Beis HaMikdash was, let alone mourn over it. We couldn't celebrate it either at this moment. We wouldn't know how to celebrate the Beis HaMikdash. Those that went through Seder Kotchim maybe have a little bit of a better idea as far as the halachas are concerned. But we have no connection to that Beis HaMikdash. And so all we're supposed to do on Tisha B'Av is pretty much to mourn, to be misabel over something that we have no shaykhis to. Okay? That's really what it is. Imagine if the Leil Seder Pesach, the mitzvah would be to imagine a Korban Pesach. And then to imagine eating it. No eating. Everybody gets together around the table. And we say, okay, imagine the Gimel Kitas. Imagine the groups that went to the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, now let's imagine the Shechitas Korban Pesach. Let's imagine the eating of the Korban Pesach. It would be virtually impossible for people to be able to do that. Not shayach. And then imagine if the end of the Pesach is v'chol mi she'eni margish, and if you can't imagine that, then you're never going to witness it. But Tisha B'Av has no structure. Has no structure. So really, all it is to try to imagine what the Beis HaMikdash was, and then do your best to mourn over what you're trying to imagine. It really seems like almost an impossible feat. So, if Chazal would say, you know what, it's a milsa de chassidus, it's a nice thing, like the Shulchan Aruch says, and the Chiddush Yerim says this clearly, it's very rare that the Shulchan Aruch says that this is a halacha that's for somebody who's a Yerei Shemayim. Shulchan Aruch is written for all of Klal Yisrael. The beginning of the Shulchan Aruch talks about being Meitzer V'Doyeg on the Beis HaMikdash. So the wording of the Shulchan Aruch is Roy L'Kol Yerei Shemayim L'Yos Meitzer V'Doyeg Al Chorban Beis HaMikdash. That's the lashon of the Shulchan Aruch. That somebody who's really God-fearing, it's nice, it's proper to feel this. Okay, that's something we can understand, we can deal with that. If somebody could reach that level, matovu manoim. One in a generation, maybe. But that's not Hilchos Tisha B'Av. Hilchos Tisha B'Av is written to every single Jew. And every Jew is given an order. And the order is you have to be misabel on Yerushalayim. You have to mourn over something that you have no idea what it is. And that's given to every Jew. As I mentioned in the past, if I were to tell you right now, you have an elter babe that was just nifta. You didn't know she was Marach Yomim. She had the genes of Sarach Pas Osha. And she lived for many years. She just died in Hungary. Mamash, it just happened, Erev Tisha B'Av. Now I want you to be misabel on it. I don't believe that anybody would be able to. An elter baba that you never knew, that you never met, that you never knew she was alive. So now you have to imagine that she was alive, and now you have to imagine Avelus. Not even Shaykh. There's all kinds of dinim in Shulchan Aruch, Hilchas Avelus. And even Hilchas Avelus has sometimes components where there's no din of Avelus, because the person is a Rasha, or there's a halacha if a person is separated. Let's say you have a marriage nebuch where they didn't get a get yet, but they've been separated. So the place can discuss that's not shayach over the Avelus. That's somebody you know, you lived with. You had some challenging times. So now you're telling me I should be misabel over Beis HaMikdash? That I have no idea what it is. And again, that's why people look out. As I mentioned, Shabbos, getting a video clip of the Holocaust or a movie, that's not available on the Beis HaMikdash. That's finding something to do which is not contradictory with the aura of Tisha B'Av. That's not what Tisha B'Av is. Somebody says, you know, I was misabel, I was very sad today because I saw something very sad. Okay. It's a kiyum of not being besimcha on Tisha B'Av, if there is value to that. Right? Let's make believe that there's value to that. Not being besimcha on Tisha B'Av, that's not available on the Beis HaMikdash. But then the Torah tells us that kol mi she'ein misabel al Yerushalayim, einei zoyche v'roye besimchas. Chazal give us a halach in Shulchan Aruch, and then they attach to it that all of our dreams of Mashiach and Geula and everything, it's all based on this, on being misabel Beis HaMikdash. How many people could say after a long lifetime of 120 years that they were mamish and avelos? Rachman al-Slan and Oval could tell you what avelos is. And how many people could say they feel that on Tisha B'Av? But if the Torah gives us this order, and it tells us that we can't forget, and Loyalis Yerushalayim Aroy Simchasi, as the Vilna Gaon explains, is not a halacha, it's a hargosha. The Vilna Gaon says, it's not a halacha, it's a hargosha, that every Jew is supposed to have so much this feeling of geula, tzipisel Yeshua, that even in their highest moment of joy, there's got to be some hargosha. I'm missing something. The person goes to the chasana, Rachman al-Otzlan, the parent can make it to the chasana. The whole chasana is a different chasana. The chasana is a different chasana. Ladies, I remember Adina by the chuppah. The mother wasn't there. She felt, the mother wasn't there. You feel it. It's a different chasana. That's the way you have to feel over the Beis HaMikdash. That even in your ultimate joy, there's something missing. There's something missing in our life. But how could you feel something is missing if you never had it? How are you supposed to feel something missing? That's the biggest challenge. The biggest challenge of Tisha B'Av, I think it's the most difficult chag, moed, to connect to. For that reason. Then you try to understand what taka, what in fact is your mindset supposed to be like on Tisha B'Av? And here also you could go mikolak tzavas, you could get completely confused. On the one hand, it's a day of tzar. On the other hand, was supposed to have tremendous amount of nechama. And as the day progresses, we turn the lights on, we put on the paroiches, or we close the paroiches. And the day progresses, and we start creeping out of our tzar, right? Because we have to have this element of moyet. Can't forget about the moyet. There's no tachnon because it's a moyet. Who ever heard of such a thing? There's a moyet. Why? Because eventually there'll be a base of English. Imagine you went into a base oval's house, and there's a carnival going on. You went to be Menachem Oval, and there's a carnival. There's clowns, there's music, there's ice cream, cotton candy for the kids. And you think you got the wrong house. You came to be Menachem Oval. There's clowns walking around. And then you see the oval. The oval says, "No, Machal L'chaim, Mazel Tov." You say, "What's going on here?" And the oval looks at you, he goes, "You don't believe in Tchias HaMeisim?" It's not Tchias HaMeisim. Yes, there's going to be Tchias HaMeisim, but that's not what the moment is now. Now there's a mace, there's not Tchias HaMeisim. When there'll be Tchias HaMeisim, we'll make a Yom Tov. So what? In what way can we explain that on Tisha B'Av, it's a moed because one day it's Yahapich, when the Beis HaMikdash will be built, it'll turn to a day of joy. But right now, look what it is now. What are you celebrating now? But there's an Indian of Moed. There were various Minhogim in the times of the Rishonim, the Bahag, the Knesset Hagdela, where they would even start doing things on Tisha B'Av that's also to do in the 9 days. So for instance, it's brought down in Bahag that the woman used to wash clothing already, Chatzos of Tisha B'Av. We wait till the next day. But there was such a minik. And he says the reason for it was so they shouldn't get lost in the tzar of Tisha B'Av. They should already start feeling. So the men would learn the Inyan Nechama, that would perk them up. And the women who weren't learning the Midrashim, which today the women are more fluent in those Midrashim than the men. So the men should really be washing the clothing. The only thing's for the men, it doesn't give them simcha. It's a different issue. But Be'etzem, there was such a concern that people shouldn't get lost in the tzar. Misyayish in the tzar. Why not? Tzar. Tzar of Tisha B'Av. And then by the time Tisha B'Av is over, we're focusing on Shabbos Nachama. We're already going weiter. Negate weiter. Of course, we still have halachas in the Shulchan Aruch of Zeichel HaMikdash and Zeichel HaChorban. But we're moving on. So what is going on here? What's the pshat? It's a fascinating Gemara. The Gemara in Yume. Very hard to understand the Gemara. But obviously this Gemara it's a game changer in how a person understands the Chum. The Gemara says in Yume, Daf Nun Dalet, famous Gemara, Kishenichnesu Goyim Lehechel. When the Goyim destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, they came into the Hechel. They found a very strange sight. They found that the kruvim were mu'urim zeh b'zeh. The kruvim, as the Gemara says in Bava Basra Daf Tzaditas, the kruvim had a characteristic. The Novi says, Pneiim ishal eyehu. The kruvim had a way of facing each other, the kruvim on top of the aron, which symbolized the relationship between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Kruvim had a possibility of moving where they would turn away from each other, Pneiim al Habayis. And the Gemara says in Yume, the Gemara says in Bava Basra, Bishor, Sheyisrael Oysim Gitzayin Yishol Mokam, when we are in good relations with Hashem, the Kruvim are facing each other. And Chas V'Sholem, when we're not in good shape, the Kruvim are facing away from each other. When the Goyim came into the Hechel, they found the Kruvim embracing each other, not just facing each other. Me'urim zeh b'zeh. The Kruvim were mamish connected to each other. To the point that the Goyim mocked it, because it almost looked improper that there should be figures in the Beis HaMikdash that look like they're mamish connected to each other. And the Gemara says, Kol Riyah, the Hizilua, that they were mavazos. They took the Kruvim out of the Beis HaMikdash in that state where the Kruvim were into each other, and they put it out and they said, look, this is, look at Klal Yisrael, this is what they have in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay? Obviously, it's a plea nifla. Because if the Kruvim normally were facing each other when we're oisim retzani shemakam, at the time of the Churban, the Kruvim should have taken a walk. They shouldn't have even been in the same room. And the Goyim found the Kruvim mamish integrated into each other. As I stay in the Gemara. It's Peladik Gemara. Nechemi, if you remember, we spoke about this Gemara years ago. Yeah. Pliya. Mamish a Pliyadik Gemara. But this is what the Gemara says. There's one other time that this happened. Kruvim Urim Zebezeh. In the opposite scenario, the Gemara brings down an Andalad Amid Aleph. B'shoa Shoy Yisrael Oilim L'Regel. When the Jews went up to the El Regel of Beis HaMikdash, they rolled up the Peroiches. It was the few times a year that we were able to look into the Kodesh Kadosh. Obviously, you can't go in. But they rolled up the Peroiches. They opened up the Peroiches. And we were able to see the Kruvim. And the Kruvim, again, were Ma'urim Zebezeh. The Kruvim were into each other. Not just facing each other, but connected to each other. And they used to say, Re'u Chibaschem Lamokim. Look how much Hashem loves you. So the Kruvim was the gauge. And Kabbalistically, there's a whole explanation to this. It's not Poshet. But the Kruvim was a gauge to show us how close we are to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Melin underscores the plea. How could it be that the time of the Churban, the Kruvim were mamish murim zebezeh? That's a pill. That's not our kasha. In Bava Basra, the Rimigash is the kasha. The Shita Mekubetzes brings down the Rimigash. He says, what's going on? That makes no sense. The answer is fascinating. The Rimigash begins to give the teretz. And then, after the words of the Rimigash, there's a Bnei Yisocho and many of the Baalei Machshava. And really, it's like I said, it's a game changer. Once you get a little bit, you feel this point, it's a game changer. And it opens up so many other things. The parashas that we read during the Yemei Mitzorim, right? We start with Pinchas, Amatas Masai, and Dvorim. Those are the parashas that Ezra was misaking, that we should read during this bitter time. Why? Comes the Ra'ah, and the Ra'ah says, because all of these parshas talk about Gula. Parshas Pinchas talks about the Yomim Tovim, and talks about Yerushas Eretz Yisrael. Parshas Matas Masai talks about Eretz Yisrael, Yerushas Eretz. So it's Hanach Lashayipol. Parshas Devorah, Moshe Benu turns to Klai Yisrael, he says, Boyu, Rishuas Oretz. So Ezra was misakin that during the 3 weeks that are the days of Churban, we read about Gula. We read parshas that tell us about Yerushas Eretz Yisrael. Again, what's going on here? It's Merav Fisiga. If that's not enough, Reb Chaim Volozhin has said over from his Rebbe de Vilna Gaon, that the Vilna Gaon said that the 21 days of the that are during the 3 weeks, those 21 days, the Bein HaMetzorim, are really keneged the Moyadim. Because if you make a cheshbon of the Moyadim that we have, Kedusha Shabbos is one Kedusha. That's the same Kedusha the whole year, like the Zohar says. Kedusha is Rosh Chodesh. So you have Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh. You have the 7 days of Pesach. You have 8 days of Sukkot. Okay? Then you have Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And you have Shavuos. It's 21 days. There are 21 days of Yom Tov, including Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh. I'm talking about the Reis of Yom Tov. Without Yom Tov Sheni that we have in Golos. So the Gaon said that 21 days of the Yemei Mitzorim are connected to 21 Moyadim. So the Korolai Moed of Tisha B'Av is not just Tisha B'Av is a Yom Tov, but the 3 weeks leading up is also Moed. So Geulas Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, Moed, and then Avelos. What's going on here? Kruvim, Murim Zebazeh. The whole thing is Merafi Sigra. It's Merafi Sigra. When the Beis HaMikdash was built ultimately by Shlomo HaMelech, so the Gemara brings down in Masechet Shabbos Daf Lamed, the Gemara says that Shlomo HaMelech had a tremendously embarrassing moment. Here you're talking about the Melech HaOlam, he was Melech Bekipa, he built the Beis HaMikdash, and now they had a simple task, very simple thing. To bring the Aron into the Beis HaMikdash. Bring the Aron into the Beis HaMikdash. Zok the Gemara in Shabbos, Dovku She'orim Zebuzeh. They couldn't get the Aron into the Beis HaMikdash. The gates of the Azor would not open. And Shlomo HaMelech is davening, and nothing helps. Nothing helps. Finally, Shlomo HaMelech says, Bavur, Pnei Meshichecha, he says, Hashem, open up the doors in the schus of my father, David. Pavu David avdecha al toshev p'nei m'shichecha. Miyad, the doors of the Azor opened up. And that's why the Beis HaMikdash is called the bias of David. When we say in benching, Orachem anu yokim lono, esukas David anu yifoles, that's the binyan of, that's the Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash is called Sukas David. The Zohar HaKadosh explains. It's called Sukas David. So the doors of the... So it's fascinating. Why couldn't Shlomo HaMelech get the doors opened? Only David? Only opened up for David. Imagine the embarrassment. Imagine the bizoy. The Gemara in Shabbos says that at that time, everybody realized that whatever chet David HaMelech could have had, obviously, it's nimchavoy. And this was a way of publicly crediting David. But it's obvious that there are many ways to credit David HaMelech. Didn't have to be now. This was the biggest bizoyan l'chayra to Shlomo HaMelech. But it shouldn't be a chiddush. Because the Gemara says that when David HaMelech said, Samachti bo'imrim libeis Hashem Nelech, David HaMelech said, I was happy when people were waiting for my death that they should have the Beis HaMikdash. And Hashem tells David, I want you more. Toiv li yoyim b'chatzirecho. Hashem tells David, I want you more. So it seems that the Beis HaMikdash is built fundamentally on David HaMelech. It's Sukkos David. What is that? What's the element of David? Ad kedei kach that the Aron couldn't be brought in. Literally, they couldn't bring the Aron in the Beis HaMikdash till they brought in the Schus of David HaMelech. Binyan shel David. What's Pshat? And this is after Hashem told David, you can't build it. Hashem told David wanted to build it. You can't build it. Shlomo is building it. But even though Shlomo is building the Mishkan, the Mikdash, it's really David HaMelech's chusim that are needed to get this Beis HaMikdash going. The sugya of Kamtz about Kamtz, I'm not going to go into the sugya, I just want to ask you a simple question on the sugya. So Kamtz about Kamtz, you go through the story of Kamtz about Kamtz. You try to figure out what is going on here. Number one, what did Kamtze do? Kamtze was a Zeus kind of a guy that never knew anything. He was invited by mistake. He never showed up. L'chayr, he never showed up. There's a vikuach in the Achronim how to learn if he showed up or not. Pashtus, he didn't get an invitation. So he didn't show up. By the way, the Ben Yoyoda says that was the Tainan. The Ben Yoyoda says, the Ben Ishchai, he says, the Tainan Kamtze was that he didn't come. So you didn't get an invitation. No, Kamtze held stand on ceremonies. I didn't get an invitation, I'm not coming. So the Ben Ishchai understands that if Kamtze would have come, it would have cooled down the environment. The fact that Kamtze was not there, and Bar Kamtze was there instead of Kamtze, that made the guy crazy. So the host went crazy because his friend Kamtze didn't come. Zok the Ben Ishchai, Kamtze shouldn't have been such a such a covet zucha. Your best friend with this guy, he's making a simcha. Show up. You didn't get an invitation. You did get, maybe it was a mistake. You go. From this, based on this, many of the achronim say there's a mitzvah to invite, because really, according to Ben Ish Chai, the whole chuban came from the invitation not getting to Kamsa. Because if Kamsa would have come, everything would have been taken care of. So the Abiyahim has a whole tshuva based on this Ben Ish Chai, that you should invite people even if you know they're not coming, you should invite them, send it all out. The Ksav Sefer with the same idea talks about making an invitation in Ashuris, using the Lashon Kodesh letters, whether you are allowed to do it or you're not allowed to do it. Is the invitation a mitzvah? And the Ksav Sefer says, what do you mean a mitzvah? Invitation caused the Churban Beis Hamikdash. The right invitation, getting to the right place, it's a mail, it's a mitzvah. But the big question here is, L'chaira Kamsa did nothing wrong. Maybe he could find a little nakuda what he did. He didn't come, he should have come even without being invited. You could find a taina. But yet Kamsa's mentioned first. Right? Kamsa's mentioned first. Kamsa Ubal Kamsa. Yeah. The host is Bechlal not mentioned in the Gemara. The host is the biggest troublemaker. Or second to the biggest troublemaker. You could say it's between Baal Kamsa and the host. Okay? So the two culprits were Baal Kamsa and then the host. The host is also not mentioned. Why don't you talk about the host? So I once heard B'Shem of B'Chaim Valozhin. B'Chaim Valozhin said, anybody that's mentioned in the Gemara was worried to make Tchias Amazing. He says, the fact that the host is not mentioned in the Gemara means the host was a Pashta person. So the time is not so much on him. Kamsa, Bar Kamsa, they were B'nai Tchias Amazing. Time is on them. Anybody whose name is mentioned in the Gemara, they were worried to be make Tchias Amazing. Okay. But again, not mentioned. Then the Gemara throws the book at Tzchariah, the Tzaddik, the Sanusa Shul Tzchariah. Right? The Tzaddik in the Beis Hamikdash, he was afraid. Yomu Matul Mum Bekotchim, Chayiv Misa. He was all worried. Yomu Matul Mum, Yomu did the Palimum Mum Chayivim, Afumak, a Tzaddik. Now let's throw the book at him. What happened to the host? Why doesn't the Gemara say one word about the host, the mushchis, that threw the guy, the tzaddik in the Beis Hamikdash, who's worried about kochim, right? He's worried about killing somebody who's matul mum b'kochim, even though that guy was a roidif and you could taka kill him. Al pi hilchus retzeach, you could kill him anyway. His whole problem was he was afraid that people think you could just kill anybody that makes a mum. The host is not mentioned. What happened to the host? So, like I said, this is a big problem with the something with Samlach. It's a big shaila who Kamsa was and who Bar Kamsa was. Marsha says a chiddush that this was a father and son. It's not so pasha to learn like that. It's a big chiddush Marsha. So the pshat I think here that we have to extract from this whole parasha, Ereshavad Gemira, is that really the whole Avelus that we talk about, maybe we're missing what was supposed to really be Misab. We talk about Tzipisel Yeshua, waiting for Yeshua. The Gemara says that that's one of the questions they ask a person. One of the first questions they ask a person. Did you wait for Yeshua? The Rambam in Hilchos Melachim Perek Yud Aleph seems to learn that that question must be answered by every Jew. That you waited for Mashiach. Not that you believe in Mashiach. Believing is not enough. You have to wait for Mashiach. And the Rambam says that somebody who doesn't wait for Mashiach is a koifer. So everybody works on that Rambam. What is it? Because he's not waiting. That's a musser. That's a musser word. He's waiting. He's not waiting. That's a musser. That's not koifer. But the Rambam says koifer. The Brisker Rav says a pshat, which is very difficult. He says if you're not waiting, it means you don't really believe. How could you really believe and not be waiting? So the Brisker Rav understands that the wait, when the Rambam says somebody who's not waiting, kol mi she'ein ma'amin o mechakeh, what the Rambam means is, if you're not waiting, you're not really believing. But my whole point that I'm trying to bring out to the tzibur is that it's possible to believe and not to wait because you never had it. How could you anticipate something you never had? You could believe, you could believe in it. But you could be, you lack the emotional ability to wait for something that you never had. Some people come to me, you know, have an open shmooze with me. What's it going to be like when Mashiach comes? Who am I going to be when Mashiach comes? I had once a Rebbe in Yeshiva came over to me and asked me this question. He said, I don't know if I want Mashiach. He said, you think they'll give me a Masifta job when Mashiach will be here? There's so many better people to give the job to. So I said, listen, I'll keep you, but I don't know if they'll keep me. So we talk, I don't know. The Talmud of Chofetz Chaim, one of the Gedolei Talmidim of Chofetz Chaim came to me. He said, Rebbe, he says, how are we supposed to wait for Mashiach? The Gemara says in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Nun Aleph, Yesh Yomim Sheim Boim Chefetz, that when Mashiach comes, there's not going to be Bechira. There's going to be such open miracles that people are just going to want to do the right thing. So the Talmud of Chofetz Chaim asked him, he said, Rebbe, I don't understand. Why should I wait for Mashiach? Mashiach comes, there'll be less schar. Now there's schar because there's the Yetzer Hara and there's Tavis. Mashiach comes, why should we wait for Mashiach? He was asking him a philosophical question. Why should I want Mashiach to come? I believe in him. Meaning the opposite of Briskrov. Briskrov is saying, if you're not waiting, you don't believe. The Talmud Chofetz Chaim saying, Faker, I believe. But I'd rather have Bechira and get reward. Why would I want to live in a time where there's no Yomim, the Gemara calls it Yomim Shein Bo'im Chefetz. And interesting, Rabban Shel Kol Yisrael Chofetz Chaim felt that his Talmud had a good question. And his Rebbe, the Rebbe told the Talmud, you're not allowed to be selfish. You're right. For you, it's better Mashiach shouldn't be here. Get more schar. But look at the Tzoros and Klal Yisrael. He says, Medaf Trachten for Klal Yisrael. You have to think for Klal Yisrael. It's going to be better for Klal Yisrael. As a whole, it's going to be better for Klal Yisrael. McKenna, you can't be selfish. That's what the Chofetz Chaim said. Ponov Zhirov used to say this over many times. He said that the Chofetz Chaim was once traveling from town to town, and there was a particular community that heard the Chofetz Chaim's train is going to stop in the town for a very short period of time. Multitudes of people came to see the Chofetz Chaim. Chofetz Chaim was a tremendous onuf. He did not want to step off the train. He felt he's going to have then a taiva with kovet. He's going to go out. He's going to see the kovet. It's going to get him. He says, he can't do it. It's too much gaiva. The Ponov Zhirov said they didn't know what to do because Chofetz Chaim ran away from kovet his whole life. Ponov Zhirov said that the Chofetz Chaim's son told him, Ta, it's true. Gaiva, it's going to happen. You walk out, you're going to feel some gaiva. He says, being a mechazek klal Yisrael. So you'll get some good. Chofetz Chaim said, walked right out. He said, for klal Yisrael is kedai to give up for myself. That's what the Chofetz Chaim told his Talmud. It's true. But it's true. Mashiach will come. In a sense, it's harder to get reward when things are so opened and revealed. For klal Yisrael, daf minister. But the fact is that the Rambam says, "Kol mi sheinu mechakeh," somebody's not waiting. The whole concept of tzipisa l'geula seems like a strange thing, because a person has to live where he is, with his time and where he lives. We call the people that we call dreamers. I could tell you, Rabbi, say I know many people that have such talent and such ability. They're just not lamaisa. And some people are so much that way that when they come over to me with an idea, I make a borcha petrani before they even tell me the idea. They live a life of ideas. And I want you to know, a lot of ideas are brilliant. It's not that there's the fault. It's creative. I always tell people like that, do something today. Do something today. A lot of these kind of people don't work either. Because part of their life is, there's two ways to live your life. In reality, or in imagination. In a way, it's very geschmack to live in imagination. Because that world you could make however you like it. It's gewaldic. Tomorrow it's going to be gewaldic. It's gewaldic. When you live with today, it's a different world. There's realities you have to deal with. The element of Tzipis Elishu, in a way, the Tzipis Elishu, what's here now? Work with here. A Jew's life should be what's today. Not what's going to be tomorrow. What's today? What do I have to accomplish today? Rabbi Yisai Rebbe wanted to be Oikar Tisha B'Av, the Gemara says. And then the Gemara says, how could Rebbe want to be Oikar Tisha B'Av? The Tisha B'Av Shechol Yis B'Shabbos. And there's a whole discussion there in the Gemara how Rebbe wanted to be Oikar Tisha B'Av. Some way or another, Rebbe wanted to be Oikar Tisha B'Av. Either regular Tisha B'Av or Tisha B'Av came out on Shabbos. So the Rishonim ask, you can't get rid of something. Ain bezin yochel uvatel divrei bezin chaveri. You can't uproot something that was established generations before. How did Rebbe think that he could be oiker something from generations before? Rav Bitzal Zolti, Zechet Tzadik Levrocha, the Rav Yerushalayim, he had a very creative idea. Happens to be his idea, there's a little steer with the chinuch. But he had a very creative idea. His idea was that according to Rebbe, you're actually allowed to bring korbanos today because the Kedusha Beis HaMikdash is still there. Obviously, we can't because we're Tomei. But be'etzem, conceptually, there'd be korbanos today and there'd be a chiyuv to bring korbanos today. So therefore, Rebbe held that halachically, they shouldn't have been the second Tisha B'Av. Because there was no real korban. The walls came down. But the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash stayed. And you could bring korbanos even if the walls are down, according to Rebbe. Not only you could, that's what Bitzal Zolti's Chiddush, you're mechuyev to, according to Rebbe. And therefore, Rebbe argued in Halacha, ain't Bezdin yochel levatel Bezdin chaveri, it's a takona. In Halacha, a Bezdin later can argue with a Halacha from a Bezdin before. That's his concept. So this Yisoid, although I say there's a contradiction between it and the Sefer HaChinuch and Mitzvah Tov Tzadik Hei, but the concept has to make us think and understand something. I think what we have to think and realize is that the Beis HaMikdash is not the main thing. The main thing is the Chibur we have to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Beis HaMikdash was just a vehicle of having that connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Beis HaMikdash was a vehicle for us to make huge amounts of Kiddush Shemayim. The Beis HaMikdash was a place where we connected to Hashem. The Beis HaMikdash is not the key. Beis HaMikdash is the chas in the hall. I'm not saying that. Chazal tells us that. That the Beis HaMikdash was the nisuin between Klal Yisrael and Kodesh Baruch Hu. The real Chorban, was the fact that we lost our Chibur with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that Chibur that we lost with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is available every single day of our lives to connect to. Memela, when the Chorban happened, the Kruvim were Urim Zeh B'Zeh to show Klal Yisrael. Don't think the relationship is over. There is still an opportunity, even without the structure. There's an opportunity to connect to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam wholesomely. That's what a Moed is. The Maral at the end of Maseches Makis, fascinating Maral. It's so gishmak, I don't know if you could say it on Tisha B'Av, but it connects to the main point I'm trying to say on Tisha B'Av. The Maral says, the Gemara says, Mevaze es hamoyedos. If somebody's Mevaze yomtif, it's koivet avodah zarah. So what, why is it koivet avodah zarah? So listen to what he says. He says, what's a moyed? A moyed means a meeting, like I brought down from the Chiddush Yerim. A moyed means meeting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every yomtif we had a moyed with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We were oil a regel, we connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We had a moyed, a meeting, a vad, what HaKadosh Baruch says the Maral, Yom Tov, there was no mechitza between us and HaKadosh Baruch. We left everything. We left our properties. We left our homes. We left our everything we had, and it was us and the Rabbanu Shalom. He says, that's why on Yom Tov, they rolled up the Pareichas, and they showed Klai, so look, there's no mechitza between you and HaKadosh Baruch. The Kruvim HaMa'urim Zeh B'Zeh. There's no airspace. There's no daylight between you and HaKadosh Baruch. He says, that's what the Regolim were. Somebody who's Mevazer Regolim means he doesn't value his relationship with HaKadosh Baruch. It's like somebody who looks out of his marriage. Mevazer Moedes means you Mevazer your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch. Mevazer your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch. Zeh Zok Temaral. So it's mamish svasayim yushak that at the time of the Churban, the kruvim were meurim zebezeh, ru'u chibaschem lamokam. Eze get krisus, like Hashem says, I never divorced you, Klal Yisrael. We're still connected. It's more challenging for us in the Golos and without the Beis Hamikdash, without having that vehicle to connect. It's more challenging. But there's what to connect. Every Beis HaMikdash Ma'at that we have is a way to connect HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every Rabbi Yankov used to say that, what's a Beis HaMikdash? What's a Beis HaKnesses? It's a Beis HaMikdash. It's a Vad. It's a meeting place on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a Mikdash Ma'at. Look how we treat the Batei Mikdash, Batei Knesses that we have. That's our meeting place with Rabbeinu Shalom. That pshat, kol dor shalei nivne b'yom of chor b'yom of means, any generation that doesn't fix the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's weiter, it's another churban, it's another destruction. Rabbi Yankov said, we use the shul sometimes for place for machlekes, Rachman Olitzla. He used to say, there was a story in Europe, there was a guy, he once went into one of the biggest shuls in the town. And the gabbai, those days, the gabbai, the shamash, was very powerful. And the gabbai had a rule where you sit and how you behave and the decorum. And this bacha walked into the shul, and he was schmoozing and he was misbehaving. The gabbai went over to him straight and gave him a whack across his face. But the gabbai started up with the wrong bacha. This bacha was not the kind of bacha you could slap him across the face and he takes it standing. He blew up. He exploded. And he gave the gabbai a look like he's going to kill him. The gabbai then gave him a second whack. That was it. The bacher punched the gabbai in the face. The gabbai's glasses went flying and broke. The bacher left the shul. And that was the end of that maisa. They told the bacher, you better never step foot in that shul, never step foot in that neighborhood, because this gabbai is like the mayor, and you're finished. Just stay away. Anyway, the years ticked by. Somebody read the gabbai's daughter to this bacher. No. The bacher is thinking, who knows? Maybe the guy forgot what happened. He didn't know who I was. He never saw me before. Maybe he can get away with it. So he told the person in the middle, he said, you know, there may be a little problem, but go for it. See what happens. Anyway, matzia the shidduch. He goes to pick up the girl. Rabbi Yankov said he wore his hat very low. Tried that most of his face should be covered. And picks up the girl, they schmooze. And in Europe, 1, 2, 3, they met each other 2, 3 times. It was gewaldig. Shame. The shidduch's happening. Anyway, he was trembling that something's going to open up by the L'chaim. L'chaim goes uneventful. And this gabbai looks like he put it past him. Or he forgot. The bacher was not going to take a chance. He was pulled between, should he go tell him and, you know, I'm the guy? Or should he just let it water under the bridge? Lo megein vayter. He was afraid to say anything. So he just let it go. And they got married. Once they were married, he felt that now it's safe. So he went over to Shver right after the Nisuin, after the Yichidrum. He says, Shver, I have to tell you something. Do you remember Maisa from like 3 years ago? Some rowdy bocher punched you in the face and broke your glasses. So he looks at him. And he gets all upset. He goes, of course! I'll never forget that, Miser. Now you know what I said. He looks at him, he goes, do you know who that guy is? You! Oh, see, you knew all along that I'm the... He said, yeah! So why in the world did you do a shidduch with me? He said, I was plotting to take Nekama from you. This daughter of mine is the best Nekama I can do. Because I wounded in Slunsik. Live with her. This daughter is my Nekama. Rabbi Yankov said, you have a shul. You have a mokum tefillah. The Eibishter gives you a beis hamikdash mahat. He gives you a place to make a relationship with him. And you use the shul as a vehicle. You look at the shul, dvar metelim, machlekes. We look around us. We have so many possibilities of connecting to the Shechina. The kruvim are still me'urim zeh b'zeh. The 21 days of the Mitzarim are 21 days of Mayadim. We could connect to the Rabbeinu Shalom. We still have that. Yes, we wish and we anticipate that we should take enough advantage that Hashem should say, oh, higi hazman gulosech. Hashem should say, you know what, let's get the structure up too. Let's put the chasna hall back up. Yes, of course we want that. But the ikar is to try to get to the kruvim that amurim zabezeh, to patch up our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the korban. The Eibush is not asking us that we have to be misabel over the korban shlomim. Yeah, we can't. We can't do that properly. We never had it. We can't be misabel on the korban oil the way we have to. But we can all look at our own lives. And we can say, you know what? We have what to be misabel about our own lives. We have to be misabel in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The sinas chinam that was involved then in Yenna Dol, that was the siluk hashchina. That itself was a siluk hashchina. Rashi starts the sugi in Gittin bar kamtze. If you look at Rashi, strange Rashi. Kamtze bar kamtze, zokt Rashi, shnei Yisraelim hoyu. It's a Rashi. The obvious question is, what chiddush did Rashi tell us here? Did anybody not know that these are two Jews? Go into kindergarten and they'll tell you the same thing. We think it's two goyim? Rashi says, Shnei Yisraelim hoyu. Shnei Yisraelim hoyu. The fact is that when we had agudas, when we had cliques, we had Jews who clicked with each other and kept this person out and this person is in. That was a churban. That alone was a churban. The churban was made up of each person's churban. Each person, each Jew, had a churban. Memela, the Beis HaMikdash, came down. Zechariah also had a churban, his little churban. That was Zechariah's churban. Not Chas V'Shalom, that Zechariah is the one, it's him. Every Jew had his tikkun. Every single Jew had his tikkun. We didn't realize it. Kamsa didn't realize that he did anything wrong. The only guy that chapped that he really messed up was the host. Him we don't have to talk about. His churban we know. But the Gemara is telling us each Jew, Zokhtrashi, Shnei Yisrael Moy, they shouldn't have allowed such a thing to be. That was that churban. And Zechai was a churban. And each one of us has our own churban. That's what Tisha B'Av is about. Tisha B'Av is about the churbanos sheyesh b'kol echod v'echod. V'osu li mikdosh v'shachanti b'soichem b'soich kol echod v'echod. The Beis HaMikdosh is nothing more than a tremendous, beautiful structure that's made up of the hashroas hashchinetz in each Jew, each one of us. And when the Beis HaMikdosh is not standing, it's because each one of us is faflekt. Each one of us has a churban. That's why every Jewish home needs a zeichel churban. Because every Jewish home has to know that we have our home is a place for Shechina. Why aren't the Kruvim in our home connected? If the so long that the Kruvim in my home are not connected, we need a Zeichel Chum. And every single Jew has to fix their mini Chum. In Sinas Chinam, in Avas Hashem, in Avas HaTorah, in Avas HaMitzvahs. And if you look at it from that perspective, it's very easy to be Misabel. It's very easy to be Misabel, and at the same time, it's tremendously rewarding to feel that even before the Beis HaMikdash is built, B'mehera V'yameinu, we could have the Kruvim Me'urim Zeh B'Zeh. That's what Tisha B'Av is. Tisha B'Av is a reminder that we have a relationship with the Rabbanei Shalom that could never be taken away. It's up to us to make it good. It's up to us to enrich that relationship. But it's a relationship that can't be taken away. And that's the Mizmo Osaf Sheshafach HaMoseh Aleitzim V'Avonim. The stones came down. But the relationship between us and Kodesh Baruch Hu is always there. And it's up to us to fix it. And every day of our life has to be a day of Geula. Every day of our life has to be a Tzipis El Yeshua. Every day of our life, it's not think about what's going to be in a year. Think about a Yeshua today. Today you made shalom with another Jew that you were machlekes with. You had a binyan today. Tzipis El Yeshua is not telling you live in the clouds. Tzipis El Yeshua is telling you, Adarabba, be a reality person, do something. Tasem mashu. Rav Shalom Shadron used to say over this, kama v'kama pomim. I mentioned this story once in the shul. He said this, kama v'kama pomim. Rav Shalom Shadron used to talk a tremendous amount about his Rebbe, Rav Chatzkel Sarner, from the Chevron Yeshiva, the Rashiva of Chevron. He said that Rav Chatzkel Sarner used to have a minig. He used to send, every week, from Yeshiva's Chevron, he would send the kvutza of Mitzuyonim, of top boys. They should spend a week by the Chazon Ish to benefit from the aura, from the light of the Chazon Ish. And you can imagine, a week by the Chazon Ish, it's like Hashras HaShechina. It's Hashras HaShechina. Rav Shlomo Shavron said the following story. He said that there was one guy, an old Chevroner Talmud. He ended up not pursuing learning. Not only didn't pursue learning, he didn't pursue really the whole yeshiva style lifestyle. So he moved to Tel Aviv. He opened up some kind of business in Tel Aviv. And he remained basically religious with no extras. Basically, Rav Shlomo Shadron called him Atalas Tefillin Yid. Atalas Tefillin Yid. Simple. He learned in Chevron, but there was not much left from his yeshiva life. Atalas Tefillin Yid. Shlomo Shadron said, this man had 5 sons. Each one of his sons was a shining light in their own way, each one of them. And this Jew, this simple Jew, had a brother, a pauper, living in Yerushalayim, who was also a Chevron of Talmud. And he was Ala Torah Ala Voida, Rosh Hashiva, and Torah, Torah, Torah. He also had a couple of sons. They were also good boys. Rav Shlomo Shadron said, "Oh, but the Tel Avivnik boys, they are given Yerushalmis, and the Yerushalmis given Tel Avivniks." This is what he said. He didn't mean anything bad. He's just saying these were stars, and the brother in Yerushalayim who was Al Tervel Avoyda, his kids were. But it turned out that the one that supported the brother in Yerushalayim to learn to be Rosh Hashiva was that brother from Tel Aviv. He gave his brother B'Kovet Malchus, gave him a tremendous amount of money to live, to marry off his children. But yet, the Tel Avivnik, his kids became superstars. So Shlomo Shadron said, he once asked this guy in Tel Aviv, "My high." He said, "I have 2 questions for him. Question number one, you're a poshati." He obviously said it probably a little nicer than that. He said, "What makes you support your brother Rosh Yeshiva in Yerushalayim? Number one. Number two, why do your sons look like Rosh Yeshivas?" He said, "It's one answer to both questions." He says, "A visit I had by the Chazon Ish. He said, one week, Reb Chatzkel Sinai was collecting, there was like 6 boys that would go every week to the Chazon Ish, and there were only 5 boys ready to go. And he was looking for a 6th. I was in the Beis Medrash then. He said, oh, you go. I looked at him, me? The Chazon Ish? I don't do anything here. I'm not going to do anything there. He said, but Reb Chatzkel Sinai said, go, it's a Chazon Ish. Why not? So the guy tells him, Shom Shon, and he says, I was a knacker. I figured take a week off of yeshiva. We'll have a place to eat. This time the food will be better over there. And it's a matter of getting a week off yeshiva, and I'll be able to come back. Say, I was by the Chazon Ish. Why not? So he says, I happened along for the ride. He says, anyway, I went. And this is a common thing. I was once in a yeshiva where they used to have buses going to Chazon Ish. And my first week in the yeshiva, the bus is pulling out of the yeshiva, and there's hundreds of boys in this yeshiva. Somebody's chasing the bus. So we tell the driver, wait. Anyway, the bus finally stops. This guy bangs. He gets onto the bus with a cigarette. He walks on the bus. And he turns around and he goes, Vemen's Chasana. Whose Chasana are we going to? He just wanted a bus out of yeshiva. Whose Chasana? So this guy wanted, he's going, he's a week off yeshiva. B'nai Brak, Chazon Ish, whatever, he'll figure it out. He says he spent a week by the Chazon Ish. He says he wasn't part of the conversations. He says the other guys were schmoozing and learning. They were this, they were cooking with the Chazon Ish. He says, I was hanging around. He says, but one thing I saw, Chazon Ish lived on nothing. He lived like a pauper, but there was nothing there. If you go to Rav Steinemann, you can see what a Chazon Ish lifestyle is. There's nothing there. He says, but the amount of money that went through that house in the week that I was there was unbelievable. You had wealthy people coming in, plotting money down by the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish would just give it out. He would give it out. Every penny would just be given out. He says, I walked out of there and I said to myself, Chazon Ish has no yad, doesn't hold anything himself. That's what I'm taking from the Chazon Ish. One day, I'm going to support people that are learning. That's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to hold on to my money. So I was makabel that. He says, my kids grew up in my home. They didn't see a father Talmud Chacham. They didn't see a father with a big hat. They saw a short-sleeved Tel Aviv guy who wears his talis and tefillin. But they saw a Jew that works and gives everything he has to support Torah. So to them, they were looking at Torah like it's up there. He said, my brother's kids, they're sitting over there. They're looking at the money from Tel Aviv. Say, Kukun, I have the geld from Tel Aviv. He said, so they, that was their perspective. Rav Shon Shadron looked at the tzibur and he said over the story. He says, Rabbi, this yid got more from the Chazon Ish than all the other guys that went. He said, you know why? Valert gemach von dem ala meiser. He took his visit from the Chazon Ish and he made something lemaisa from it. He took his visit. He didn't talk to him in learning. He wasn't a falpo with him. He wasn't it. But he went to the Chazon Ish and he made something lemaisa. He left the Chazon Ish and he made a Kabbalah in his life. And there's a piece of the Chazon Ish that was in this man. That was Binyan Beis HaMikdash. That's Binyan Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi said, that's what Tzipisa Lishu is. Tzipisa Lishu is that each one of us in our own life has to say, we're going to fix the Churban. We're fixing the Churban. The Churban that we reflect. The structure, the Ibishter will take care of. We have to fix the Churban. And every smile we give a Yid, and every Kiruv that we do to another person, every Maisa Chesed, every Shtikul Teira that we learn, every Tefillah that we say with Kavan, every Kavan HaMikdash that we do, it's all building. And it's our binyonim. And it's v'shachanti b'soichom. And it's kruvim urim zeh b'zeh. And if in each of our lives we connect the kruvim, we're going to be zeicher without a doubt to see the ultimate kruvim. B'beis b'chatzis k'tshecho, b'beis mikdashecho. B'mehir of Yomeinu, we'll see gulas Yisrael b'shleimusa and the end of all the tzaras to Klal Yisrael.